Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Our theme this Christmas across our campuses and the title of the message this evening is simply That Moment in Time. You know, as we think back on history and particularly maybe even just the last 50 to 60 years, I think there have been some defining moments in time that have changed history. And one of those in 1969 was the moon landing, when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon for the first time. I wasn't born yet, some of you were born, but it was a defining moment in history. In 1990, Nelson Mandela was freed from prison, and it forever changed the course of history in our nation. Just 5 years later, we won the Rugby World Cup final for the first time. The first attempt, we won it. And of course, we've won it many times since then, but we won't brag this evening. And then 2001, September 11, who could forget the terror attacks on the Twin Towers in New York that forever changed everything in our world, defining moments in history and in our nation. And I think for all of us personally, we all have personal moments that we know that moment was a defining moment. For me, one of those moments was the 28th of April, 1973. It was the day I was born. It was a defining moment in my personal life. 17 years ago was a defining moment when my beautiful bride walked down the aisle. And how many of you know, was never the same again. I think the moment also when I, on an Easter Friday, I fully surrendered my heart to the Lord after having been on the fence for a number of years before that. That was a defining moment. And then I think also when I responded to God's call to full-time ministry, that was a day that I will never forget as well, a defining moment in my life. No doubt you've got many in your own life. There are many historical moments that have changed our world, but none of those moments compared to that moment in time when God stepped into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Very simply, God came into our world. He took on human form. He was born as a baby, conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And important to note that it wasn't by accident that this happened. It also wasn't a coincidence. God wasn't confused with what was happening in the world. He also wasn't getting old and grumpy and tripped in heaven and just happened to fall down to earth and there He was. No, it was His preordained plan for humanity. The timing was not random either. It happened at just the right time. Galatians 4 verse 4 tells us that when the right time came, the time God decided on, He sent His Son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own sons. And that's really what the Christmas story is all about. It's the story of God's redemption and rescue plan for humanity. Sin had separated us from God, and God, through His Son Jesus, came to reconcile a sinful humanity with a perfect God. Let's read together from Matthew chapter 2, and it's some of the account of the birth of Jesus. And verse 1 says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw His star as it rose, and we've come to worship Him." But King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Verse 7, then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. What a great response to Jesus. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. That moment in time when Jesus was born, firstly, it revealed those who worship Jesus and those who are disturbed by his presence. You know, it's interesting, we see two very different responses to the birth of Jesus here in Scripture. We see the wise men who were lived with a sense of expectation of the coming Messiah. They understood the timing of God. They knew the Scriptures. They believed the Scriptures. And so when they heard of the birth of Jesus and they found the Lord Jesus, the most natural and obvious thing for them to do was to fall down on their knees and worship him. King Herod, though, had a very different response to that. He was not aware of what was happening. He didn't know the timing of God. He also didn't know the Scriptures as he should have as the leader of the people. And we read in Scripture that he was threatened by this talk of a newborn king. The Bible also says that he became deeply disturbed. And instead of worshiping the newborn king, he tries to get rid of Jesus by killing all the babies in the area that were 2 years and under. You know, the truth is the context may be different today, but very little has changed. People either respond one of two ways to the birth of Jesus. They either acknowledge him as Lord and worship him, or they end up becoming deeply disturbed by the fact that God would become man and step into our world. You know, it's interesting that most people are happy to talk a bit about religion. They're happy to talk about morality and perhaps even talk about God. But the moment the discussion changes to Jesus, everything changes. Have you noticed that? People don't want to be, they don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to know about Jesus. But, you know, God can be applied to many different contexts. Everyone can claim to believe in God, but the moment you speak about Jesus, you narrow that down. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way that will get you to God. And I think the reason that Christmas for so many people has become about everything that it isn't, because deep down at the root of it, people are deeply disturbed still today by the incarnation, by God becoming man, because if it is as the Scriptures say, then it demands a response from us. And rather responding with worship, people choose to make Christmas about everything that it isn't. And so we put trees up and gifts and Santa and reindeer, and those things are not bad on their own. But the moment that becomes Christmas, you've actually taken the same route that Herod took, and it becomes a distraction rather than us acknowledging for who he is and falling on our knees as the wise men did and worshiping him. The second thing about that moment in time when Jesus was born is that it changed time and history forever. Everything changed when Jesus was born. You know, although he was born of a woman the same way that all babies are born, he was in the womb of Mary for 9 months, even though he wasn't conceived through sexual union, but he was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. So in many ways, his birth was an ordinary birth, but it changed everything forever. Billy Graham once put it like this. He said, Christianity has its roots in the deep, firm soil of history. Jesus' incarnation, God invading human history with his presence in the form of man, is on the record. Every time you write the date, you attest to the fact that God entered human history. We don't often think about that. We almost every day would write the date somewhere or another. But every time you write the date and you put the year 2019, you are acknowledging 2019 years since the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because his birth separated time. Up until the birth of Jesus, we now have BC before Christ. After the birth of Jesus, we have AD, short for Anno Domini. It's a Latin term that refers to in the year of our Lord, the year the Lord Jesus was born. But again, those who are deeply disturbed in our world by the birth of Jesus have also tried to distort this. And so what's happened now, people have begun to do away with BC and AD, and instead they are now using BCE, before Common Era, and CE, Common Era. Because the moment you, as Billy Graham says, the moment you acknowledge BC and AD, you are testifying to God becoming man and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip Yancey, the author, says, whatever you may believe about it, the birth of Jesus was so important that it split history into two parts. Everything that has ever happened on this planet falls into a category of before Christ or after Christ. I don't know if you realize that if you're a Christian, you also have a before Christ and an after Christ. Everything that happened in your life before you surrendered to Jesus is before Christ. It's what we call your BC days. Then you had an encounter with Jesus. You received him as Lord and everything changed. And now you live under the grace of God and according to the plans that God has for your life. His birth changed time and history forever. Another thing his birth did is that it signaled God's intervention in the mess of humanity. It signaled God's intervention in the mess of humanity. There's a series on Netflix at the moment called The Crown. Some of you might have watched some of the episodes. It follows the story of the British royal family and in particular the life of Queen Elizabeth. And one of the episodes in season 3 portrays the true events that took place in the village of Aberfan in Wales in 1966 in what has become known as the mudslide of Aberfan. And what had happened, there was mud and waste material that had been put just outside the village on a hilltop from a mine. And what they didn't realize, what there was actually a spring under this hill. And in one particular occasion in 1966, when heavy rains came, that spring burst as well. And it turned all that mud and waste material into slurry, as you can see from that picture that came and flattened a good majority of that town. The mud killed 116 children, which was half of the village's children, and also 28 adults. What's interesting, though, is at the time of that occurrence, Queen Elizabeth didn't visit the villagers herself. Instead, she sent her husband, Prince Philip, as her representative. She herself only went 8 days later, and at the time, people thought that she didn't initially care about what had taken place. But the thing to understand when it comes to any royal family is royalty doesn't get involved in everything that goes wrong. But then there is a time when they come personally. And that's what we see when God became man in Jesus. God doesn't get involved in every little detail of our lives. There are certain things he just leaves us up to us to make the decisions. Even in the Old Testament, we see he sent his prophets. He often sent the angels. But when it came to the mudslide of our brokenness and sin and decay, God knew that he had to get personally involved because his prophets and his angels could not do anything about our sinful state. So he took on human form in the person of Jesus, and rather than sending a representative, he himself came and got his hands dirty in the mess and the brokenness of our lives. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1 verse 23, it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When God came as man in Jesus, he revealed himself as a personal, loving, caring God. He made his home among us. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself as Emmanuel. God is with us. The good news for us today is that nothing has changed. He is still Emmanuel. He is still God with us. God didn't leave us to die and rot in our pitiful, wretched, sinful state. But he took on human form and he came in the form of his son to free us. And what's interesting to note is at the time of Jesus' birth, the nation of Israel desperately needed freedom. The people were enslaved again. They were captive. They were brutally treated and oppressed by the Roman government. They were looking for someone to intervene. They desperately needed a savior. They thought they needed a political savior, but Jesus knew they needed a spiritual savior. Jesus didn't come as, you know, under the banner of another political party. He came under the banner of heaven because he knew what they needed was intervention because of the sinful state of humanity. Isaiah 9 verse 6, the prophet 700 years before the birth of Jesus prophesied and he said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." God came to establish his kingdom on earth, and he did it by becoming man as a baby in the person of Jesus. He didn't come to establish another political party. He didn't come to establish another charity or welfare organization. He also didn't come to give us another 10 commandments in the hope that maybe this time we'd finally get things right. No, no, he got involved in the mess of our humanity and he intervened because there was nothing you or I could do on our own about the state of our lives. The fourth thing that that moment in time of Jesus' birth did is that it brought God's eternal salvation to a sinful, dying world. It brought God's eternal salvation to a sinful, dying world. King Christian of Denmark was a great modern-day king. He ruled in Denmark from 1912 to 1947, and he was known as the people's king. He would on most days go out without any of his bodyguards among the people and ride his horse among them through the streets, or he would walk through with them, and he endeared himself to the people. And one particular occasion in the latter part of his reign, he was standing on the side of a road, and there was a car that came speeding past much too quickly. And as the car was coming up, there were two little four-year-old girls next to him who stepped into the road. Everyone around him began to shout because they realized these kids were going to get killed by the car. And so what he did, he stepped forward with his two big arms and he grabbed one of each of them in each arm and he pulled them back to safety. And those two girls, as they grew up, frequently told the story of how they had been saved from death by the king. Isn't that really what the Christmas story is all about? Jesus was the two big strong arms of God from heaven who came into our world. He saw the danger. He saw the path of destruction that we were on. He knew there was nothing we could do to save ourselves. And he reached out from his home in heaven and he came down and he took us in his arms and he saved us from sin and from destruction. Matthew 1 verse 20 says of Joseph, the father of Jesus, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's what Jesus came down from heaven to do. He didn't come down to impress us. He didn't come down just to hang out with people. He didn't come down to record music albums and write books and do all that stuff. He came down to save us from our sins. In fact, the name Jesus literally means the Lord saves. That's why his name could not be anything else other than Jesus, because his name is reflective of who he is and what he came to do. The Lord saves. I want to finish with a quick story. In 2012, off the east coast of America, there was a hurricane called Hurricane Sandy. And to this day, it's one of the most destructive that have hit America, also one of the most deadliest. And it caused damage worth over $70 billion. And one of the towns that was hit the hardest was the town of Atlantic City in New Jersey. And at the time, the mayor, Lorenzo Langford, encouraged a group of the residents to stay put in the building where they were. Unfortunately, that building ended up being only a block away from where the hurricane hit at its hardest. And as a result, there were 500 people there that were stranded with no way to be rescued. You see, the problem for those 500 people was that they listened to the wrong advice, and many of them perished as a result. You know, the truth is we live in a world today where there are many people with loud voices, unfortunately, giving the wrong advice. When it comes to matters of life and death and morality, and particularly when it comes to matters of eternity, there are a lot of loud voices there telling us what we should be doing or what we should be believing. But there is only one voice that we should be listening to, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit will always testify to the birth of the Lord Jesus and what it was that God came to accomplish through that verse. You see, any other idea is only a man-made idea. There are many philosophers and leaders and teachers and religious people, and many of them, I believe, have good intentions. But good intentions will not get people to heaven one day. It is believing in the God who became man in Jesus, who was born, who lived a sinless life, and who later died on a cross. That is what gets us into the presence of God. That is what gets us into eternity. You see, it was that moment in time when Jesus was born that is now your moment in time to respond to His love and receive Him as Savior.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.